at Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 75 through 77, the Lord's Supper, Covenant and Gospel. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we will have three sermons on the Lord's teaching concerning the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion. The first sermon will be on the principles of the Lord's Supper. That's what we'll look at today. The second sermon is on the corruption of the Lord's Supper. And the third sermon will deal with discipline and the Lord's Supper. Hear from God's words concerning the principles of the Lord's Supper. Our headings are: the Lord's Supper is a sign and seal of the covenant. Second, the Lord's Supper is a sign and seal of the gospel. And third, the Lord's Supper is sustenance for the weary traveler. And our goals are that you will have a richer understanding of the Lord's table, properly understanding what Jesus Christ did for you, and that you will then long for the Lord's Supper and be drawn closer to your Savior. The Lord's Supper is a sign and seal of the covenant. That means you are on your way to Him. A sign and seal of the covenant. Question and answer 75. How does the Lord's Supper remind you and assure you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all His gifts? Together? In this way, Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat this broken bread and to drink this cup. With this command, He gave this promise. First, as surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup given to me, so surely His body was offered and broken for me and His blood poured out for me on the cross. Second, as surely as I receive from the hand of the one who serves and taste with my mouth the bread and the cup of the Lord, given me as sure signs of Christ's body and blood, so surely He nourishes and refreshes my soul for eternal life with His crucified body and poured out blood. The Lord's Supper is a covenant sacrament the Lord instituted for His church. The Lord's Supper is a sign and seal of Christ's redeeming work for you. We say it's like a sign that's on a store. You know what kind of store that is. You know what is for sale in that store. But it's also a seal upon your soul, not just a sign. Like an imprint on a certificate. If you have a degree, you will see there's a seal that is pressed into it, which shows or authenticates that that degree is real. For the sign and seal, the Lord used bread and wine as the symbols of the Lord's Supper. Not grape juice, but wine. And there are specific reasons for that. The Lord's Supper is recorded in all the synoptic gospels in Matthew, Mark, Luke. The first place it is mentioned in the New Testament is Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 28 together. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So wine, not grape juice, is appropriate. And it's most appropriate because wine was a drink of celebration as opposed to grape juice, which was rarely available, by the way. Bread is the basic necessity of life, so it was also an appropriate sign. Bread symbolized God's providential care. So it's a richness of saying, "I'll sustain you, but I'll also give you joy." So it was appropriate to use bread and wine. Further, breaking of bread shows a kinship, a covenant relationship. No one sits down to break bread with his enemy. No one wants to do that. The Lord himself appeared to Abraham and had a meal with him, showing this picture of this covenant relationship. And it's not strange that Jesus himself is called the bread of life. He says, if you eat of me, you will live forever. Now in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus, of course, was not saying that the bread was literal human flesh, nor the wine literal human blood, as Roman Catholics believe. He meant that the bread represented his body and the wine represented his blood. He simply used this strong language to assure the hearer that as he ate the bread and as he drank the wine, he was receiving Christ's body and blood in his heart. The Apostle Paul used such strong language as well in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 25. Together, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This is my body. This is my blood. Such strong words, but they were intended to focus on you, on what you receive in your heart. Not literal flesh, not literal blood, but you receive the work of the flesh and blood in your heart. So the Lord's Supper is a covenant sign between you and Christ. You were united with him. You were in him when he obeyed. You were in him when he died on the cross. You were in him when he was buried. You were in him when he was raised. And you're joined with him. You're united with Jesus Christ. And that's why we say we use language like we're eating his body. He's part of us. We are part of him. We're united together. Where did the idea of the Lord's Supper come from, though? Why did the Lord suddenly decide that he wanted to use bread and wine? Well, the Lord's Supper had its origins in the Passover. The blood of Jesus Christ, symbolized by wine, was pictured by the blood of the Passover lamb that was killed and its blood painted upon the doorpost of the Israelite homes in the form of a cross, a T. The body of Jesus Christ, symbolized by the bread today, was pictured by the unleavened bread that the Israelites ate with the meat of the Passover lamb. This covenant sign had an earlier beginning, of course, in the Garden of Eden after Adam fell into sin. God killed an animal and provided a covering for Adam and Eve. That blood that was shed meant that they had a covering for their bodies. And so the blood of the Passover lamb that was painted on like a cross on the door of every Israelite's home was a picture that kept them safe. And that was all fulfilled in Jesus Christ, like the Garden of Eden when the animal was killed, like the Passover lamb that was killed, like when Jesus himself was killed. That was a fulfillment of it. When his blood fell to the ground, you have been freed. Your blood does not have to be shed. Why? Because you were in Christ when he died on the cross. And therefore, you don't have to die for your sins. All believers are to take the Lord's Supper. They are to eat the bread and to drink this wine. It is for those who need to be spiritually reminded of their place in the covenant. To refuse to eat and drink in the Lord's Supper because you think you are unworthy is to disregard its purpose. And we'll talk more about that in the third sermon. You may not reject it. I know there are some churches that they hold such a high view of the Lord's Supper that basically no one takes it. It's a sin not to take the Lord's Supper. Because you're refusing to acknowledge the work of Jesus Christ for you. And it's also to rob yourself of the nutrition that you need for your soul. To refuse to eat the Lord's Supper is to deny God's covenant. It's to say, I wasn't in Christ. On the other hand, non-believers ought not to take the Lord's Supper. It is holy food for the strengthening of the soul. Holy food cannot exist in an unregenerate heart. Those who inappropriately take the Lord's Supper profane the Holy Supper. And you understand, this is why the Lord had to put Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. He said, we better put them out, otherwise they were going to eat of the tree of life. And he said, they may not eat of the tree of life. They were living in sin. And they needed to be changed before they could eat of the tree of life and be corrupted. Let's come to our second point then. We say the Lord's Supper is a covenant sign. It reminds us of that relationship in Christ. It means we are at the Lord's door. We are in a special place with Him. And He tells us that we are to celebrate that with the Lord's Supper. But there's another aspect of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a sign and seal of the gospel, not just the covenant. It means you are resting in Him. You're not just near Him, as the covenant brings us near God. Now we are responding to the gospel and we are resting in Him. Look at question 76. What does it mean to eat the crucified body of Christ and to drink His poured out blood together? It means to accept with a believing heart the entire suffering and death of Christ, and by believing to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But it means more. Through the Holy Spirit, who lives both in Christ and in us, we are united more and more to Christ's blessed body. And so, although He is in heaven and we are on earth, we are flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. And we forever live on and are governed by one Spirit, as members of our body are by one soul. To eat the Lord's Supper means that God has saved you. To eat the crucified body of Jesus Christ is not cannibalism. To eat the crucified body of Christ means that you accept with a believing heart the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. And you accept with a believing heart that your sins are removed. And you accept with a believing heart that you have eternal life. That's the gospel. Christ came, lived, suffered, died, rose again, and you receive that. And when you're eating the Lord's Supper, you're saying, yes, He has saved me. Yes, He nourishes my soul. Look at John chapter 6, verse 35 and following together. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now here the Lord used the picture of His shed blood from His hands, from His sides, from His head, from His back. The Lord did not choose a dead lamb to represent His body. He wanted to show new life, new spiritual life. And look at the foolishness of the Jews here. Jesus was speaking of spiritual food, but they were talking about physical meat. And they were the leaders. And they were the leaders. Did they really believe, going back to the time of the Passover, that the Passover lamb saved them? Was the blood of the Passover lamb so special that when it was painted on the doorpost that suddenly God says, I will pass over you, I will not destroy you? They had to know that that was a picture of that which is to come. That was a picture of Jesus Christ and Him alone. But you see the strong language again. Whoever eats the flesh of the Son of Man and drinks His blood. Not literal, of course, but to receive that into your heart. Receive it into your soul. This is what Jesus did for me. When you eat that bread, you drink that wine, you're thinking, Jesus Christ was the one whose body was broken, whose blood was shed for me. And now I'm receiving it by faith, and so it is a means of life. When you eat bread, you live. You don't eat, you die. And Christ's body and blood is like nourishment for our souls. Also, to eat of the Lord's Supper means you are close to Christ and His family. This is the work of the gospel. This is Psalm 133. How good and pleasant is the sight where brethren dwell together in unity. They delight in each other. We are close to Christ and we're close to each other. Let's look at some verses. John 6:55 together. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. You see what it means there? Jesus is saying, my blood and my body will nourish your soul. What a beautiful and poetic way to express the work of Christ in you. But look at something more about the closeness that we have with each other. 1 Corinthians 12:13 together. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. We are drinking from one Spirit. Now most people, if they have some distant person they see, they don't take their cup and drink from them. But if you have a husband or a wife or a child, you may drink from their cup and they may drink from yours. You've seen that with little children. They see their mother and father. They don't care what they've got in their cups. They come and they want to taste what's in your cup. They want to drink from that cup. And that speaks of a closeness. And here he's saying, we are family. We're united. This is the work of the gospel. That the Lord's body and blood was shed for us, so we are now close together. And we drink of one Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, together. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? This is, we're all together now. We're going to feast on what Christ has done for us. And 1 Corinthians 6:15-17 together. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And so we have that. We are all members of the body of Christ. And we're joined together, not with the devil and the wickedness of the world, but we're joined by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel is pictured for us in the bread and the wine. And we eat together, and we live together, and our souls are nourished together every time we participate in the Lord's Supper. This is one of the reasons in the early church the Lord's Supper was celebrated, well, actually for first maybe 1700 years, the Lord's Supper was celebrated regularly every week. Because it was a picture of the unity we have with each other. And what an expression of it. The Corinthians also drank of the same Savior. We've looked at that passage before. The Bible says there's a cloud over their head, and that cloud was Jesus Christ. They were drinking of Him. And we were united with Him, and we were united with each other. What sweet fellowship we can enjoy with Jesus Christ through His Holy Spirit. And to eat of the Lord's Supper regularly means you are continually drawing closer to Christ and His family. It's not just the fact that we did it one time. This continuing action continues to draw us closer to Christ. You know, some people try to argue, well, if you do something so often, you lose the closeness. But that doesn't really hold up in life. Most people, when they get married, they think, oh, I couldn't love my husband or wife more. And then you realize the closeness is increased over time. You learn to love them even more because you know their faults then, and you still love them in spite of that. And that relationship is drawn closer together. And that's a continuous action. And that's why you continually need to celebrate the Lord's Supper and to be nourished. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29 and 30. Together. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So, the first part, the Lord continues to love us, and he continues to nourish us. How does he nourish us? Through the word, and through the sacrament. Through the preaching of the gospel, through baptism and the Lord's Supper, that our souls are being nourished. Why? Because we are one with Him. So it's more than being in a covenant relationship with the Lord. Now we are in this gospel relationship, a saving relationship with Him. 1 John 4:13, together. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. We are united in Christ by His Holy Spirit. We'll look at an illustration now from John 15. The branches themselves feed on the vine as in the Lord's Supper. It is if as a branch you don't remain in Jesus Christ, you will wither and die. All branches are nourished from the same source. Look at the passage now from John 1. I skip around a little bit. From John 15, verse 1. Together, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. What a wonderful picture of us together now. We're all joined in as branches of the vine that's going along. And all the branches are nourished by the main vine, who is Jesus Christ. That's the Lord's Supper. That's the preaching of the word. That's why you may not be absent yourself from the nourishing force. What happens if you don't eat? You starve and you die. And sadly, there are many malnourished Christians because they think they can get by only on Sundays. They forget that you need food on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. They ignore the word of God. And so the body starts to starve. And when people panic, when they are starving, they do many crazy things. You've probably seen people who have been hungry or seen in movies how people react very differently when they're starving. But the Bible says if we stay in Christ, if you're fed by Him, our souls will become rich and fattened and ready to bear fruit. And 1 John 3:24, together. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. We draw from him by his Holy Spirit. And we bear that fruit of obedience in our lives. So the Holy Spirit seals us and reminds us of the seal each time you take the Lord's Supper. Every time you put that bread in your mouth, your mind must go back to the cross and see what Jesus did for you. And the Holy Spirit says, yes, your soul is being nourished. When you put that wine to your lips and you drink it, your soul is nourished. Because the Holy Spirit draws you back to the blood of Jesus Christ. It also authenticates you as a Christian. It's that seal upon your soul where the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are children of God. It doesn't talk about you being perfect in your day-to-day life, but it talks about you being declared to be perfect, justified, because all your sins were paid for by Jesus Christ. And this is what brings you joy. This is what should bring you joy. Every time you take of the Lord's Supper, you should say, oh, thank you, Lord, for what you did for me. The Lord's Supper is a celebration of your salvation. You have a new family. You have a new heart. You have a new record. You have a new life. And you're being fed continuously by the Lord. He saves you. He keeps you. And then we come to the third point. The Lord's Supper is sustenance for a weary traveler. And the question 77 says, where does Christ promise to nourish and refresh believers in His body and blood, with His body and blood, as surely as they eat of the broken bread and drink this cup together? In the institution of the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also the cup, after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. This promise is repeated by Paul in these words. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Now, if you were really, really hungry and someone gave you a piece of old bread, not bad, but old, would you refuse it? Of course not. You want to live, so you eat. What if you were really, really hungry and then you get the most delicious thing you could imagine? How would you feel? Joy. Of course you will have joy. Would you thank the giver then? Of course you would. Now the Lord's Supper is the most luxurious meal you could ever get. And God gave it to you not just when you were weak and sickly, but He gave it to you when you were dead. He gave you life and He says, I'm going to feed you now. I'll raise you up from the dead and I'm going to take care of you till the end of your life with the most nutritious food that you could possibly ever want. This fine meal continues in perpetuity forever and ever. So are you weak and heavy laden? Are you struggling? Now, if you're dead, the Lord will raise you up. Call upon Him. But if you're a Christian, you find yourself struggling. Stop. Eat. Rest. Eat God's Word. Eat God's sacrament. Receive it into your heart so that the Lord will nourish you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 and following together. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, He took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. What are you going to do if somebody provides the glorious, most glorious meal you've ever had and you've been starving? You want to tell people about it. You go on Facebook and you're going to tell them about this delicious meal I got. How about when somebody gives you a meal for your soul. When He raises you up from the dead and says, I'll give you new life, I'll give you food, and guess what? You don't have to pay for this. That's the kind of meal I like. You never have to pay for it. And it's the best meal you could ever imagine. And it tastes good. That's what God does. What would you do then? You tell others about it. You broadcast it to the world. You let your wife and your husband and your children and your neighbors and your co-workers and your classmates know that you belong to Jesus Christ. He is nourishing you with what your soul needs the most. So dear weary traveler, how do you respond then to the one who raised you to life and then nourished you with the most nourishing food of all? Let's conclude. Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper for the nourishment and comfort of His bride. The Lord's Supper is a symbol of the covenant relationship He has with her. And it is a symbol of the gospel that He offers to her. He brings her close. That's what the covenant does. And then He saves them with the gospel. They hear the good news, they receive it by faith, and they have life. God brings His church close to Him. God works in His children's hearts. And then believers rest in Him. And that's what the Lord's Supper is saying now. We're resting in You, Lord. You brought us close. You give us new life. And now You nourish our souls. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you let the Lord's Supper remind you of the covenant relationship you have, that you're in that special place that where the Lord brought you by baptism? It should. Do you let the Lord's Supper remind you of the gospel that saves you from all your sins? It must. When you do, you will love the Lord more. When you think of His covenant, when you think of His gospel, you will love Him more. And when you do, when you love Him, you will not miss the Lord's Supper. You know that's good for you. And of course, you show your thankfulness to Him. And then you will tell others about it. You will tell others about the spiritual food. Because here's the thing. The difference between having a great meal is you realize if you have to split it in two, it's not really great. It's only half great then. But here, there's no shortage of nutrition for your soul. The Lord's death was enough for the entire world. So you will tell others about the spiritual food. You will invite them to the Lord who shed His blood and gave His life for His children. And finally, if you want food for your soul, God must change your heart first and must give you new life. Why not ask God, if you are not a Christian, why not ask God to change your heart so you can receive the food you need the most? He has abundant food for your soul. Yes, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who put their trust in Him. Let us pray.